Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Steve Palazzolo, Pro Football Focus, is with us now. Steve, how are you?
Doing great. Thanks for having me back.
Yeah, it's good to have you with us, Steve. You actually, we had Sean Salisbury on with us. He comes on with us on Wednesdays, and he referenced his interview with you, where you know you guys talked about Deshaun Watson and what it would take for anybody to give him up. I think the Texans, you know, if I'm them, I'm just doing whatever it takes to try to figure out, you know, get him back on the page with them. But if not, I mean, we would talk about, fans got mad at us yesterday because we wouldn't trade Baker Mayfield for anybody else that would possibly be available right now. But for Deshaun Watson, anybody would be crazy not to trade whatever it takes to get him, no?
Yeah, absolutely. He's probably the second or third most valuable asset in the NFL right now. Patrick Mahomes, I think, is one. And then I think there's a healthy debate between, say, Deshaun Watson and Russell Wilson. And I think that's a fair way of looking at him. He stepped into – I know they didn't win games this year. He was a top five quarterback this year, number three by PFF grades, took a huge step forward despite a horrible situation. And I think I've seen fans get mad in other areas about having, you know, three or four first-round picks for Deshaun Watson, which I think is a fair price because of how valuable the quarterback is. And I think what sometimes fans, the disconnect between big names and what they're worth, I think in football, the quarterback is in a different echelon, whereas other names like Khalil Mack, Laremy Tunsil, like those guys are never worth multiple first-rounders, even if they're great, even if they're Hall of Famers, they just cannot return enough value that, say, two or three players would hypothetically bring, but quarterbacks do. So that's why I think that Watson's value is legitimate when you talk three, four first-rounders plus second-rounders. Like, that's all valid because he's one of the best assets in the entire NFL.
Steve, why would the Texans even consider getting rid of Deshaun Watson, even if you had, even if you got, like, three or four first-round picks for him?
I would hope that they wouldn't. I do think that they'll figure it out. But if the bridge is burned, you know, just too much, if it's over,
right,
then the Texans would have to, you know, figure out how to, you know, get something for Watson. And here's the other thing about the Texans. There's a reason why they had four wins this year. That roster is absolutely depleted. It's in rough shape. And it's because of previous moves. You know, when you trade up for Watson like they did, that's fine. That's well worth it, as I've said. But they gave up multiple first-rounders for Laremy Tunsil. They traded DeAndre Hopkins, only got a second-rounder back. They traded Jadeveon Clowney, got almost nothing back. They had all these other assets that just did not bring anything in return, and they gave up draft capital to go get a starting left tackle in Laremy Tunsil, who's excellent. He's a great starting left tackle, but it just left so many holes elsewhere along the roster. The whole defense needs to be gutted and replaced. Offensively, they've done a pretty nice job, but you still need better depth there. So that's part of the issue. So if the Texans look at this and say, look, Deshaun's not going to work out here for whatever reason, and if they can accelerate the rebuild by having multiple draft picks, because they already don't have a first or second rounder this year because of the trades of the Dolphins, then that would be the one attractive piece for the Texans. If Watson wanted out, they could at least get a ton of that draft capital back that they've spent the last couple of years.
We're talking with Steve Palazzolo of Pro Football Focus. Steve, let's move to the Browns, who unfortunately lose to the Chiefs last week. And we were talking earlier in the show, question came up between these four guys. Baker Mayfield's got, obviously, you know, if you include the fifth year option, he's got 2 years left on the contract. Nick Chubb has 1 year left. Wyatt Teller has 1 year left. And Denzel Ward, also two with a fifth year option. If you could only sign three of those four guys long-term for the Browns, Wyatt Teller, Nick Chubb, Denzel Ward, Baker Mayfield, who is the one guy you're not signing?
Well, it's definitely between Chubb and Teller. You know, when you just go with positional value, running back and guard being at the bottom of the totem pole, I think with Chubb, you know, it's really tough to give a running back a second contract. As attractive as they look at the time, it is really, really difficult. You know, Derrick Henry has kind of paid off in year one for the Titans, but there's so few cases around the NFL where an extension for a running back pays off. So I would lean Wyatt Teller at the moment right now, and do what you can to try to replace Nick Chubb and understand that so much of his production is still based off of what the offensive line was able to do this year and has been able to do over the past couple of years. So,
you know,
I'd say Chubb is out.
Not surprised that you say that, Steve. You know, to me, and I get what you're saying, but there's still, you know, I always believe that the best GMs use a balance of analytics with some, you know, whether you want to call, I hate even to say old school, some personality, some, because not everything can be done in a number. And I think Nick Chubb for this team in terms of leadership, in terms of the way to kind of conduct yourself, and I know, you know, there's, you got to make cuts in terms of money. I still think there's more to it than he's just a running back, so you move on with this particular guy on this particular team.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm not in the building, so I agree that the personal component should be factored in. But I'll also say that doesn't age well either in other situations, right? The Rams paid Todd Gurley because they felt like he was a leader and they felt like he was a key to their resurgence. But the numbers were clear as day. Like, he was not good when they had a bad offensive line. He was good when they had a good offensive line. Zeke Elliott, you know, the Cowboys felt like they had to make a statement. We got to make this guy the highest paid guy. We drafted him fourth overall. They're still without Dak Prescott locked up because of the Zeke Elliott move, right? So there are other situations where it feels, if I told you, it feels good. It feels like, well, this situation's different. These guys are different. And maybe there are a few, Alvin Kamara or Derrick Henry. Maybe yeah. Chubb is one of those guys. You just got to be careful, though.
No, I agree. I think those are fair points. What I would, my counter to that would be that Ezekiel Elliott, to me, is not the same type of person that Nick Chubb is. There's no, you know, character concerns when it comes to Nick Chubb. And Todd sure. Gurley, as you said, I mean, he was already showing signs of not being as good, where Nick Chubb has shown no signs of that.
Yeah, I mean, they re-upped Gurley when he was at, you know, I think at his peak, or when he was, you know, getting in that MVP race. I love Nick Chubb. I've loved him since I saw him reel one off against Clemson as a true freshman. I said, that is a bigger version of Maurice Jones-Drew as far as the way he sheds tackles and has speed and has all this. And that's what he's been. Nick Chubb has been absolutely fantastic. The one other piece is, you know the Browns are going to run the ball under Kevin Stefanski, so you would get a little bit more value out of Chubb, just like the Titans would get a little bit more value out of Derrick Henry than, say, another team that doesn't run the ball as much.
Steve, what would you do if you're the Browns with Odell Beckham Jr. going into next season?
I think it's hard to ignore how Baker has played without him. And I know I feel lazy even saying that, because I know it, a lot of people say it, and it,
right.
But it's tough to ignore. And I think, and I am of the mind that you go crazy when it comes to adding playmakers. You want, like this weekend in these games, every defensive coordinator is sitting there all week trying to figure out, how do I stop X, Y, and Z? How do I stop Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce? How do I stop all of these Bucs receivers? How do I stop all of these Bills receivers? How do I stop Devontae Adams plus the emergence of Alan Lazard and Bob Tonyan? So I believe that's how you build a team. So normally I would say you keep Odell Beckham and you just add another receiver, you know, keep adding receivers. But it's really tough to ignore how efficient this offense has run without him. So I think it'd be intriguing to see what you can get on the open market for him, whether in the form of draft capital or comparable players or ways to, you know, shore up the secondary and some other pieces on the team. And that's, it's against my nature, but it's just the way the flow of the team went this year. And I think I think there might be something to it.
Whether it's Odell or not, Steve, I do think if the Browns, you know, want to upgrade on defense, which they have to do, obviously they got a ton of holes and they got a lot of their starters were veterans who they signed to 1-year deals. many of their starters on defense are free agents here. I think the trade front, whether it's Odell or trading draft picks, might be the way to go. Obviously, the Browns don't have a high first-round pick. You know, if you're, for the most part, elite defensive players in important positions don't make it to free agency. So trade might be the best route for them, no?
Yeah, and with the salary cap being lower than expected, right, it's going to be a crazy year. The free agent, I've been doing a ton of work in free agency right now. We have our top 100 over at PFF.com, and it doesn't look that great. It's not attractive, but I think there's going to be a whole bunch of cap casualties out there. There's going to be a middle class of players that are available, and I think being in position, so what, you know, if there is a trade to be had that opens up cap space that allows for a team like the Browns to grab three or four veterans, maybe well below market value on the defensive side of the ball, I think there are teams that can make big overhauls on one side of the ball just by adding veterans that are below market value. So I think putting yourself in position to do that could be a key strategy for the Browns and some other teams around the league.
Yeah, you know, when you look at this Browns team, like, when you saw the game on Sunday, you saw, you know, obviously Mahomes go down and the Browns had a chance to come back. Like, how far away is this team, like, from being a team that consistently yearly can be a, you know, a team that's playing for the conference championship, playing maybe in a Super Bowl in the next 5 years? Like, are they close enough, you think?
So I have similar vibes with the Browns as I did with, say, the 49ers last year. And the 49ers were obviously better, and they were far better defensively. But it's one of those years where, before the season, I said I wouldn't be surprised if the Browns went 10-6 or 6-10, right, or anywhere in between. And, you know, they exceeded my expectations. They hit the top end, right? They hit that top echelon. But I still think they're probably closer to the middle of the pack than they are a top-10 team. So I think there's definitely still some work to do. We've talked about the defense quite a bit. I think the back seven in general, just being able to stop opposing passing attacks is always the biggest, most important thing defensively. More consistent pass rush. And as much as we're talking about, hey, is Odell Beckham a trade candidate, you still want to have playmakers like OBJ on offense to just have answers when defenses take one guy away or certain concepts away. You just want to have more playmakers. So
right.
I think they have a little ways to go, and I think it's going to be honestly tough for them to duplicate what they did this year, you know, record-wise, unless they do make some strides in some of those key areas.
I think they will. I mean, I think, you know, the offensive line needed upgrading this past year, and they worked on it. I have a lot of faith in this team that they will improve in the areas that they need to. Steve Palazzolo, Pro Football Focus. Steve, when you look at from a contract perspective when it comes to Denzel Ward, you know, obviously he's really good, but he's also missed 3-4 games every year of his career. How do you think they figure that out from a financial standpoint?
Yeah, that one's a challenge. Sometimes I'm of the mind that, you know, injury stuff is a little bit unlucky, but it does seem like guys get dinged up a little bit more. I think it's a little risky to let, you know, to not lock up Ward. And you just probably have to take your chances given his, you know, he's still young and, you know, he's everything you're looking for in a corner. Having CB1, so to speak, corner one, the trickle down that has for the rest of your defense is just so valuable. I'd work to lock him up and, you know, get a massage therapist over there and say, listen, let's go. We're staying healthy. Do everything. Invest in his health. But I think he's got to stay if they're going to rebuild that defense.
Steve, good stuff, man. We appreciate the time as always. Thanks for joining us.
You got it. Thanks a lot, guys.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.